Why so serious?
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the Toy Department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Thursday morning, at least when we're recording this, it's Derek Madden, Matt Kolsky. We are we're ready to talk about the challenge, and it's weird. Not a lot that happened in terms of actual events, and yet it was an action-packed episode of the challenge last night, right? Maybe one of the most action-packed of the season.
Yeah, and I think we should take time to acknowledge that. Last week, at the end of the pod, I said I kind of feel like it's going to be a double elimination and we won't even get a daily challenge. And you were like, well, there's definitely going to be a daily challenge.
Well, and there was.
Was there?
Just, we didn't get all of it. I mean, the challenge was activated. They showed up.
All right. Okay. I feel like you're hanging on by a technicality here, but I'll give it to you.
I was wrong about a lot of stuff. So I'm not afraid to say I'm wrong. However, I will say that when you said double elimination,
yeah, this is not what I meant.
Yeah, what I thought you meant was that that there would be an elimination at the beginning of the show and then a second one at the end of the show in the same episode.
Oh, that's not what I meant either. I meant this.
Okay.
I just thought it was going to be one guy, one girl, but of course it was two guys.
Gotcha. I thought you meant that they would do an elimination, then a challenge, daily challenge, and then another elimination. Regardless, I also thought that the security breach would be kind of a, you know, just blah, or they just bring some random person back. So
right, we both thought the security
loud wrong on that. Yeah.
Was bringing someone back, but and in retrospect, I think we should have known better. Because there's way too many people here, and we're not that far from the end of this thing.
Well, I guess, except it's kind of like they could just continue to move the goalposts on the finish line as long as they want. There aren't any real rules in this game.
Yeah, but
we don't know where the end of it is.
I mean, I guess that's true, but I feel like if it was, you know, going to be a 25-episode season... I don't know.
I'll put it this way. Do you have any idea what the number of contestants who will participate in TJ's final is?
No, but I do know that there have been 18 episodes, including the two-part reunion special for the last four seasons.
Okay. I guess that does sort of define it, but really they can have as many episodes as they want.
You're right. You're right. So. And they've ratcheted a lot of things up, but like, I think we're a lot more than halfway through at 12 is what I'm saying.
So clearly
they can't just have all these people. There was bound to be a big elimination somewhere.
Right. And I also think that, this was a timely producer intervention.
Yep.
Understanding that, if things went down the way things were going to go down, that the game was pretty much locked until the final anyway. So this was the right moment to shake things up. So let's start with Devin here in this situation, because at the time, and I even wrote this in my notes, as it was happening, that like, okay, Darrell is a weird choice for Devin, but then again, he didn't really have many options, right?
He didn't have any options.
I was kind of a
knee-jerk.
Many options is what I was, I think, right? He did have a couple of options, and I ultimately decided he picked the wrong one.
Oh.
But I didn't figure that out till today.
Okay, so, that's funny. All right, so I went through a mental process here as well. First of all, my thought was, man, again, not going after Big Brother. But based on his votes, Durrell effectively is Big Brother, right? And,
correct.
And second of all, when you look at the competitors, I guess you could argue that the move would have been to drag Nam in there with his bad back.
Nam wasn't eligible.
Oh, that's right, but he was a rogue agent.
Couldn't pick Nam.
So you couldn't pick
Corey.
Yeah,
couldn't pick Nam, couldn't
you
pick
couldn't
Corey
pick
either.
Nam, so it's basically Fessy, Kyle. Is that it? And Durrell.
Fessy, Kyle, Durrell.
Yeah.
Yeah, and at first, you know, my impulse is like, well, of course you want to take on Fessy, but
maybe
I
that
think this was the
do.
Game to get Fessy, right? A, you know, they talked about it, you know, a little bit when CT and Josh were up there. Although obviously CT did great. I think that it is right. That is a bit of a tough event for bigger guys, right?
Well,
that particular elimination.
I don't know that. I mean, in theory, but Fessy to me is more on the CT coordination level than the Josh coordination level. The
yes.
question is the puzzle.
Right. That was the other part I was going to get to. Fessy is kind of famously not good at puzzles, right?
So I guess, but as Devin pointed out, if he had been good at the puzzle, he would have won.
Right. And it's a moot point, obviously, because Devin sort of biffed the puzzle.
That's right.
But,
I mean, I think in the end, would Durrell – I'm sorry. Would Fessy have finished everything faster than Durrell? I'd say 50-50. But at the end of the day, Devin – by choosing Durrell, Devin put himself in a spot where if he had done what he was supposed to do, he would have won the elimination. So I'm not going to be too critical of the decision.
No, me neither. Me neither. But I think Fessy might have been the smarter play. I think it might have bought him a little more time.
It might have.
And, you know, you're right. Durrell's pretty much working with Big Brother at this point. But obviously, Fessy is a core member of that alliance.
That's
and to
true.
Take out Josh and Fessy in the same elimination really would have been a death blow to Team Big Brother, I think. So
yeah, I think
I'm surprised,
you're right.
Surprised he didn't, you know, not surprised. Cause like I said, at the time I was right there with him. I'm like, well, I guess I got to do it, but
can I,
that would have been the smarter play.
So, yeah, maybe
go ahead.
Now seems like the time to, tell you my burn of the week.
Okay.
Because for the second straight week, I have, as my burn of the week, I have Devin burning himself.
Oh, yeah, Devin did have some good cell phones.
he had a whole speech, and I wrote it down when he lost. And it goes like this. Clearly, I didn't come correct tonight. There's no excuse for that type of performance here. The best man won tonight, and I got to tip my hat to him. I called him out, talked a bunch of shit, and then got my ass kicked. Classic, Devin.
Yep. Classic Devin.
He said classic Devin about himself. And that was my burn of the week.
Yeah. Sure, you know, Devin was never likely to win this competition. And I think, on the whole, still a really strong season for him. You know, a couple of missteps, sure. Embarrassed himself a couple times, but was consistently entertaining, really the straw that stirred the drink for a lot of this season, and also had some pretty impressive wins at the end of the day as well.
Yeah, no doubt, but
yeah, the show will be less interesting without him.
It would have been a less entertaining season without him, but he is what he is. And this is what I tried to explain to you when we had a debate about Devin a few episodes ago. Like, you were saying, well, why is, you know, he's supposed to be smarter. But that's actually not reflected in the record. He says he's smarter, and he seems to have a decent number of people fooled. But when it comes to the moments where he has to prove he's smarter, he often makes strategical errors in the game because he can't keep his mouth shut. And he semi-frequently blows it on puzzles, which is where he should be thriving, allegedly. So,
yeah,
I love the entertainment he can bring to a show. But, you know, there's a reason why in an ITM during the elimination, Leroy was like, get Devin out of here. Go home, Devin.
Well,
Leroy, the nicest
there is a reason. I don't think that was the reason, though. I don't that he chokes in these things. I don't think.
No,
that was
it's
the
that
reason.
I'm saying it's that he's a constant pain in the ass, and that's the only thing he's consistently successful with.
Yeah, well, he's real good at that.
He is great at it, and that's why he will be invited back as many times as he wants to come back until he really crosses a line or something. But I think he's self-aware enough to not ever really violate any significant thing. And, you know, he's going to keep coming back and keep stirring the pot and keep getting eliminated a few episodes before the final. That's going to be what he does forever, I think.
See, that's interesting because I think he's going to get better. I think he's got some upside. You know, I think he's going to be in better shape. He's already talking to Game about it. We'll see if that's true or not.
I mean,
and I think he's going to train on some of his weaknesses. I really do.
He's five seasons in and he says that every time. What's
all
the
right,
statute
well, I believe him.
Of limitations on.
I believe him.
Okay.
Because I think he wants to be on this show as long as they will have him. Uh-huh. And I think that if he has a career that's kind of like you described, I don't, you know, there may be a ceiling to it. So
why? Do you think Kyle's ever going to stop getting invited back?
No, I don't. But I think Kyle's also someone who can win. I do.
Well, I mean, Devin could win, but I don't think it's particularly likely for either of them. And my point wasn't really about whether Kyle could win so much as it was about the fact that he hasn't and he still gets invited back every time. I don't think there's any doubt he'll continue to get. Because with both of them, win or no win, they are consistent and consistently entertaining characters that we now know pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, more than
Kyle's
anything.
Kyle's a genius. He's just a genius.
I don't know that he's a genius. Look where he's at.
No. I don't. I just mean a genius at being on reality television.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's like, know, in the same way LeBron James was built by, whatever your favorite deity is to play basketball, Kyle was built by the same architect to be a reality TV superstar. Truly.
Yeah. Correct. All right. So I probably should just get my burn of the weekend since you got yours in, and then we can move on. I gave mine to Big T this week.
Wow.
Who delivered it, unfortunately, not to CT's face, but to, I believe it was Gabby she was talking to, but describing their argument, she said, "Don't give me some Coach Carter ass speech."
Yeah, that was great.
which I really enjoyed.
That was great. This was not a good look for CT. You know, it should have been a good episode for him. And he really, all he had to do was be nice to Big T when he left her.
Yeah, totally blew that. It's funny because I was in real time. This is another thing that was, you know, like straight from my notes. As it's happening, I'm like, man, I love this Big T CT team, and I've been rooting for them all season, and I don't want them to break up. But I'm like, you got to be tempted to take Cam here, right?
Here's what it says in my notes. I found myself, as it was happening, I found myself wanting CT to stay with Big T, but he did the best thing for his game.
Yeah. So.
Right? I mean, like, you just. And by the way, to quickly touch on his elimination performance, it was spectacular. Nobody could.
Leroy level.
Yeah.
Right?
No one could have beat him in that. Not one guy in that house could have beat him in that with his combination of. I mean, the way. When they cut from Josh, like, floundering off the platform to CT swinging down, taking two steps and launching himself like Michael Jordan or something, like this beautiful, like, majestic leap. It was the most hilarious contrast between, like, the goof and the stud. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, it's like, yeah, there's the goof. That's why he wanted this. Like, as much as it seemed like, you know, there were better matchups in the house, that's why he wanted the goof right there.
Yeah. I want the goof. Give me the goof. Not only that, he had time to drop a pro tip in the middle of all this that for him was totally unnecessary. Like the thing about him dropping his pieces in the same pile so it would be quick to get, like, he could have dropped those things all over the place.
Right.
Ran around, picked him up, and Josh would have still been up there.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, CT is actually the LeBron James of the challenge. I mean, that's real. That's really who he is. Like, and maybe, like, Johnny Bananas is Kobe or something, and Durrell could be Jordan, for Christ's sake. But he is LeBron James. Physically, mentally, like, I don't think anyone's going to be inviting CT to Mensa anytime soon, but he understands and is good at the mental game of the challenge in a way, in a natural way that, you know, nobody really has been before. Even when he was a psychopath and he would regularly get kicked off, he still had a sort of preternatural understanding of the game.
Right. LeBron James is the right comparison because, like, a lot of times, and the shout out to the Timberwolves announcers who do this pretty much every time they play the Lakers, like, you hear people talk about how he's the most physically gifted player in the game, but also the smartest player in the game.
Yeah.
And CT has that going. What he doesn't have going, and this is something he was aware of and spoke about during the season, is, yes, he understands the game. Mm-hmm. And he's got the physical ability to play, but I think, as last night illustrated perfectly, he's still bad at the social aspect of it, right? And Big T really helped him a lot with that over the course of this season.
He doesn't care in the right way about that part of it. It's interesting because I don't actually think he's out of control. Now, okay. There's two he did two whoopsies here, right? The first and initial whoopsie is freaking out and screaming about Cam and just disrespecting Big T on the floor of the Elimination Chamber. Like, that is the inciting incident here.
And he could have gotten away with if he was just, like, kind of excited for a second, but he just kept fucking going.
Right, and I don't think that's CT out of control. I think that's CT being funny. And it's not super funny. It is super mean. And I think he just doesn't get it. Like, that's one I think he just doesn't. Like, he's in control. He just doesn't understand.
Well, sort of, except, right, he had just given an ITM where he was visibly shaken up about what the difficulty of this decision, right?
That's what I'm saying. That's my
point.
And
then 10 seconds later, he's acting like this is the easiest, most delightful thing that anyone could do.
Right. Well, see, that's my point, is I think he legitimately struggled with the decision and then was like, oh, this will be funny. I'm so excited to have Cam. And he's just, like, goofing. And he doesn't understand how disrespectful. That's my read on it anyway. But then that's different to me from the conversation at the fire pit when he attempted an apology very poorly. Because in that situation, I think he legitimately loses it because he can't help. He feels like his honor is being besmirched in a very serious way, and he can't help turning an apology into a shouting match.
An argument, right. Like, he couldn't let go of being right in that moment. In a moment where he was wrong. You know what I mean? And he just needed to, as he told Kyle early in the episode, like, take your medicine. You know what I mean? Like,
I think that's
take
right.
your medicine, dude.
I think that's you right. Know? I don't know. Like, I don't think he's totally. I mean, he's wrong. Like, the distinction he's trying to make between breaking a promise and lying is a very silly one.
Right.
But I don't think he's that, like, incorrect per se about the way he sees what he did. What I think he is wrong for not apologizing for being a dick about it. And also, like, a defensive hothead who can't just, whoever's right or wrong, do the best. You did the best thing for your game by choosing Cam, but then you did bad things for your game by making a scene out of it and not just taking your medicine with the apology.
Well, right. And you know, this is what I mean, is for someone who sees the game so well, Cam straight up called it out in this episode, right? Like, you're making enemies. You need to clean this up. And for his game, the best thing for his game at that point was to clean it up. And getting in a semantic argument about the difference between lying and breaking a promise.
Right. Well, that's like, my point.
Does not serve that in any way.
That's my point. See, I think in the pit when he did the whole Cam act, I don't think that's like a dude who can't get out of his own way because he lost control of himself. I think that's just a dude who can't read the room. In the apology turned into argument, that's a dude who can't control himself and is so defensive about not being a scumbag, as he put it, that he can't just let Big T have her moment and receive her apology the way she needs to. Because they could have been friends after that. Like, there was a moment there where if he just cooled it and was like, you know what, it's my bad, I love you, she would have been like, okay, we're going to try to be friends moving forward. That would have been possible.
And he needed to just tell her, like, that wasn't fake. Like, you know, it really was a good partnership, and I got a lot out of it, and all of that.
And he sort of tried to do that, but as Big T put it, at some point it turned into a Coach Carter-ass speech with a failure to take responsibility.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's true that she's not ready for that final, but you don't need to say it. There's no point in that moment of honesty at that point for what you're trying to do with your game.
No.
You know what I mean?
And even if you do say it, there's a way to say it, right? Like, straight up, I love you. I picked Cam because I'm trying to win $1 million for my family, and I just think right now she's better than you. She's been here longer. She's bigger and stronger.
She already understands all of that.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Instead of being like, you can't handle a final, all you have to say is like, as much as I love you, Cam is just a little better at this right now. But that doesn't mean you didn't surprise me with how competitive you were. That doesn't mean you didn't do a great job. Like, there's a, and frankly, he seemed to know how to do that this whole season with Big T leading up to this point, and then sort of at the most critical moment, he failed. That being said, who wants him in an elimination?
Nobody.
So there you go. I don't know that making enemies is really that big of an issue for him right now.
I also think that's part of it is that he's like, I'm me. I got the best partner in the game.
Yeah.
We're, you know, an elimination or two away from this final.
Yeah. So that's
what am I worried about?
Exactly.
What do I care if anybody likes me or not?
And so that's why I say, you know, maybe more than not seeing the game or not being able to execute properly, he just doesn't care at this stage.
It might be. And there are, you know, because there were like, you know, Gabby was like, it's looking real bad for UCT. And I'm like, oh, is it?
Right.
Like, nobody really wants, like, are people really going to vote him in and then try to take him on? Like, I don't think that they will. And if they will, good luck to him. You know what I mean? So he's fine. He's just trying to get to this final and get that money. And I don't, you know, there is that sort of aspect of it is that he's so much older than almost everybody on this show at this point.
Yeah, Lisa, I don't think he, as much as he may.
That he
have,
may just not be interested.
Right.
You know?
I do think he was reasonably sincere with Big T throughout the season. I think he went overboard to pump her up and not say negative things while being her partner, which only makes sense. But I don't think he was just, you know, using her and lying the whole time or anything. Like, you know, that was her interpretation, and I think that's extreme. I understand why she felt that way and was hurt in the moment, but I don't think that's what happened. That being said, I do not think he is super here or cares to make new friends or expand his horizons as much as he wants to win $1 million.
I agree with that 100%. And he's just a little bit less upfront about that than like Durrell. he will straight up tell you.
Yeah, but they essentially have the same attitude, which is like, I just need to qualify because none of these motherfuckers want to hang with me.
Yep. Man, this final is going to be epic, by the way.
Look, if this final just holds right now, right? Fessy, Durrell, CT, Kyle. Who am I missing?
Fessy, Durrell, CT, Kyle. That's it, right? Corey and Nomp don't have skulls?
Yeah, there's another guy in the game that we're forgetting about somehow because there's five skulls, right?
Yeah, there should be five skulls. Who's in the game that we're forgetting
about?
This
is going to be hilarious.
Leroy.
Oh,
Leroy.
Of course,
it's
Leroy.
Yeah. And you can't forget Leroy. Leroy's going to be an epic contender.
That's ridiculous.
I'm starting to – but when you say
shame
that out loud,
me.
I'm starting to worry about Leroy a little bit. I kind of felt like this is Leroy's year. And when you say it that way, when it's like, oh, he's going to have to beat Darrell,
no,
CT, Kyle, Fessy in a final, like
no. – He's not the target right now. Like, if you're Corey or Nom, I think you're definitely going for Kyle, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not worried about him losing a skull. I'm just worried about him being it, winning that final against that group.
Well, and Nom's gone now, so it's really just Corey.
Yeah.
And that's a bummer for Nom to make it all that way, to outlast Lolo's, you know, reign of terror. And then have your back go out. As a 40-year-old man whose back is who's literally sitting with a back massager working right now, I really felt for Nom in that moment because there's just nothing you could do when your back goes out. Like they said it on the show, you know, but you just have to friggin' lie down for a few days, and then it usually, you know, unless you have a serious issue, it'll bounce back in a week or something. But like, you just can't. There's no like, oh, you know, even if the cortisone shot that it seemed like he got had sort of worked, he just would have made it worse by doing whatever the challenge is, and then it would have been worse 2 days later. So
yeah,
it's that's just added. Backs are the worst.
Yeah, I mean, we both have back issues, and yeah, it sucks when they're happening. But man, the way he was describing it, it sounded awful. It sounded awful.
I've had those nerve pains that he's talking about before, that sort of thing before, where it just like blasts through. It's just the worst. It's just the absolute worst. I felt so bad for him.
Yeah, me too. And you could see it. It seemed like people in the house did. I felt like there was also a little bit of twinge of like, you know, hey, go home, take care of yourself, but
another
also don't be in the game anymore.
The
yeah, exactly. So you know, maybe they were laying the concern for his health on a little thick.
These people, but never.
Yeah. But you know what was not, what was both over the top and completely sincere? The reaction to Josh leaving. Like Josh left a little hole in that house, man. And that is the dichotomy of Josh, as we've spoken about it many times.
The goof.
Spelled out right there. The like, yep. Big goof. Annoying. Maybe the most annoying competitor. And yet, you know.
Beloved.
Sincere, lovable, and a real friend to like many people in this game. Like, I, you know.
Casey was legitimately like moved.
Yeah. How about Nani? Like,
well,
Nani almost broke down.
Yeah, but Nani's emotions are all over the place all the time. Casey is pretty stoic, and she was like legitimately shaken by Josh's departure.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You know, and I do think she had put a lot of work into like trying to protect him, you know, in this game, trying to keep him like steady, you know, which is essentially impossible
as one
ask.
Does with Josh.
So so to sort of see it all sort of, you know, it is what it is.
In the double elimination super surprise way, with an elimination that, I mean, look, I think CT would have beat him in anything, but clearly that coordination is not a contest between those two gentlemen.
It is not.
Never mind the puzzle. I mean, even if Josh had kept up, there's no way he finishes the puzzle that quickly. Like, everyone was staggered by how quickly, especially after that elimination, which was like, of any of the eliminations, the one you would have wanted to face CT in, right? Nobody is trying to take his skull after that. Nobody.
Honestly, it would not have, I don't think, of any, because I had some awareness of how good he is at puzzles.
But which other, but what's better? A hall brawl?
I think for CT, that one that Leroy crushed is probably the one I would want to try to take him on in.
Oh man.
There's no good one.
But, well, you know what I mean? There's no good one. Maybe I guess hanging from a rope, but that again, you know what? That is a perfect challenge elimination in that it's not necessarily being the fastest or the strongest or any particular athletic skill. It's just being good at weird stuff. And like CT is going to kill you there too. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
So maybe it is that one over this one, but you certainly don't want him in a tug of war or a hall brawl or a drag a big thing into a puzzle competition.
Yeah. Right? Or that, right. Like the thing with the dig where you're digging into the ropes and you're trying to put the balls in the.
Yeah.
Like, no. You don't want him in that.
Of course not. So
the grab the stick deal. You don't want him in that.
I'd rather take my chances with Fessy in any of those challenges, you know, or even Darrell on the concept that I might be able to catch him on the puzzle. Like you're just CT's not vulnerable. I don't think.
Look, there's a reason everybody's trying to keep him out of there.
Exactly. Like,
it's clearly the best strategy. So just try to not let him get a chance to go in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I, you know, and I think you sort of said this too. I was legitimately disappointed in him, the way he treated Big T, because it really was a great story, and she really did. She was sort of the one who got him his skull in a lot of ways, you know?
Yeah, and on top of that, like just seeing Big T sad is unnatural, man.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Like, I require, her happiness is an important part of the show.
Yeah, it's like a light just what goes out in the whole house. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I did not like it. I didn't like to see them fighting, and I didn't like to see her upset.
No, it was upsetting. And, it was upsetting to me,
and all of it was unnecessary. That's the thing; it was all unnecessary.
I'm very interested to hear what Tori and Anissa, who I'm assuming is back, say on the podcast about that. Because Anissa was pretty judgmental of CT in the ITM.
Yeah, sure was. Sure was. I mean, I think, you know, most women in the house are going to be in that situation. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even Cam. You know, I shouldn't even say even Cam, because Cam has a reason to be like scorned in all this too, because that was yet another thing, right?
Well, not even
that he handled so clumsily,
right?
You know, back from day one, right?
Right. Yeah, that's true. That actually was weirder than this, but
yeah, it was.
This was weird and not ideal.
Yeah, man. Boy, he blew it that first day too. I mean, you know, we talked about it at the time, but man, in hindsight, right? Like, who was, if those two had just teamed up from the beginning, right? It would have been maybe it would have made him target somehow, but I think everybody would have been running scared all season long.
Yeah, I mean, right? It's hard.
Like,
to...
Cam made Kyle a force, you know what I mean?
And it's hard to imagine, you know, like it's hard to imagine them not both winning. Not them winning challenges relatively early and often, which, yeah, it really would have changed the dynamic of this game. It would have potentially kept – boy, it would have been much more interesting for the alliance with Big Brother, because Leroy with Cam and CT with – or, I'm sorry, Leroy with Casey and CT with Cam would have sort of dragged them in opposite directions.
Yeah.
That said, I mean, I think those are the two best teams right now, are Cam's team and Leroy's team. Like, Leroy and Casey have really played this well.
So, does that mean, you know, at this point, it's Cam and Leroy that are pretty much in control of the game, right?
It depends. Like, they have a chance to consolidate their power here. But they're going to have to get Casey to ditch Big Brother.
I guess there's not much need for power at this point, right? Like, there's one skull left. You're really just trying to,
well,
to make one person easier in a final, right?
Yeah, but that requires some voting power. Now, does CT just sort of glom on to Big Brother at this point? I don't know how into that they're going to be. Like that. It also
kind of
depends.
Doesn't matter if they're into it or not, though, well, right? Because no one really is going to try to, you know, what are you going to do? Try to throw him in dynamic? He's just coming back anyway, sort of. You know what I mean? So
maybe, but maybe Fessy would rather face CT in elimination than in a final. You know, I mean, there's a lot of interesting ways this could go. Not to mention all the twists that are still possible.
It's true. It may take a twist though, because I think that we're pretty much set with the final. We just got to figure out who's going to get that last skull.
Yeah, except do you really think 10 people are going to a final?
I think maybe. I don't know. Corey will get his shot at a skull, right? Like he's going to get a shot to take it from somebody. I'm going to guess. And then I kind of think, you know, and then obviously they have, there's still one lady skull out there. And I kind of think that's it. I do think they might take 10 people to the final. Or they might do that, Top Chef.
Change.
Yeah, you know, kind of thing where it's like, hey, we're going to the final. And then, you know, there's one quick elimination. Something like
that, I think we get a girls' elimination next week, right? So they can get that last skull out. And at that point, there will be 5 women on the show. Unless they do a double, men and women, right? You'll be down to 5 women and 6 guys. Because Nam is... Oh, no, because there's 7 women right now, aren't there?
You've got... let's see.
Because Nani, Gabby, and Big T are all without a skull.
Right. And then you've got Amber, so there's Cam... 7. Yeah, who have, right, 4 skulls. Okay.
Right. So right now, you're likely getting a female elimination so you can get rid of your rogue
Almost
agent.
Almost certainly. Yeah.
Wait, is there a rogue agent? Now I'm confused again.
I don't believe there are any rogue agents.
No,
wait,
Big
wait.
T is because Nam had...
Oh, because Nam went home. Yeah.
Right.
So
Big T can't be an elimination. So I would say in all likelihood... You're going to end up with Nani taking on Gabby, regardless of what happens. Because they both want to go in, and none of the people with skulls are going to want to go in if they don't have to.
Well, I think that it's going to depend on who wins that, you know. But I guess we can assume that Nani or Gabby are not going to win whatever this daily challenge is.
I mean, I don't think it matters.
All right, because it's an open skull. Yeah, right. You're right. You're right. Never mind. Sorry. You're right. It'll be Nani versus Gabby. And I think, right, it won't even be like they'll both say, let's go. And
yeah,
that's it, right?
I think so. Unless, I guess, there's some infighting that someone else wants to throw a person who already has a skull in. But that seems unlikely to me. Like, I think all the skull people will try to vote the same way to get it as Gabby versus Nani. There's no reason not to let them try since Big T can't do it. So... That to me, like, then you're at a point where there's 6 of each. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a double, you know, male plus female elimination the following week just to get it down to 5-5. And then maybe you go somewhere else and eliminate one more guy and one more girl and run the final with 8. Because also,
could be.
We don't know whether it's going to be a team or individual final. And we don't know if the teams are going to stay the same for the final. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if there's either a rotating partner thing for the final or something like that. And, like, 10 feels like just too many.
Yeah. I don't know. I can easily see a 10-person final.
I feel like most finals get down to 6 or less. So...
I mean, they did set up 10 skulls. You know what I mean? So
yeah, but remember last year they set up like more, you know, final qualifications than they took people to the final.
Yeah, and they, you know, but I think they, with the numbers and the skull thing, right? The skull's a relatively new development in this game that I think that they are, they're still refining. So
yeah,
we'll see.
And as usual, we have no idea because this game is great at shocking and surprising us. Speaking of which... Do you have an episode MVP for today?
I was just going to ask you. So, you, this is a little bit of a process of elimination thing.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, obviously, CT gave an incredible performance and then spent the rest of the episode mucking it up.
Correct.
So I can't give it to him. So I guess I'm kind of giving it to Darrell by default, because he put himself, you know, Darrell's position vastly improved, right? Kind of out of nowhere in the course of this game.
I mean, and
he didn't take anything off the table. So that's my choice.
Yeah. If we compare this to, like, you know, NBA player of the month versus season MVP, I feel like Darrell right now, because I agree with you, Darrell right now is the, like, sneaky MVP candidate in, you know, late March, early April, who just won his first player of the month. And you're like, man, he's really had a good season. And now he's headed for the playoffs with a high seed. You know what I mean? Maybe he's the MVP. So, like, I'm not saying he's going to win.
Darrell is Kawhi, by the way, right? Like, Darrell's
kind
Kawhi.
Of. Yeah.
Quiet assassin, you know, may not be giving totally 100% over the course of the regular season because he's saving it for the playoffs. You know what I mean? And that, like, I feel like that's been Darrell the whole time.
Yeah. He's played a really calm, clever season. He once again did the exact opposite of CT and stayed with a potentially weaker partner because it was the best social move for his game. There was no reason to rock the boat, right? He's still sort of, you know, on the edges of the Big Brother alliance. And she's proven to be better than we might have imagined, right?
Yeah, like, and joked around in all of it, and it landed.
Yes, he made the exact – he did the exact opposite thing of CT and perfectly handled the situation in the same way he's handled the whole season, like calmly, quietly, and without drama.
Yep. I think he and Ambrose are actually a really good partnership, you know.
There's
She's
really
definitely
not a lot
useless.
There's not a lot of fluff here.
Yeah, I agree. We're down – to the heavy hitters.
It's pretty obvious where the fluff is, right? I mean, it's pretty, like, there's none on the guy's side. I mean, the five guys with skulls plus Corey is, you know, arguably the five best guys coming in.
Plus Corey. Yeah. And Corey's probably six, maybe.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. So, I meant six. It's arguably the six best guys coming in. You know, you might have thrown Wes in there depending on how you see him and at his age. But, like, this is kind of who you would have thought would be here.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of was.
And on the women's side, minus Lolo and Natalie, who both went home for non-competitive reasons, one much more acceptable than the other. This is, you know, the women with the skulls are more or less women you might have imagined would have skulls. Anissa maybe not, but that's because people underestimate her.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair. So I believe it was Corey who did have the choice, right? The Nani Gabby Big T partner choice.
No.
Who would you have gone with there?
It was Kyle.
Kyle? Kyle had that choice? Yeah. Who would you have gone with there?
I think Nani would have been my last choice, but maybe I'm reading it wrong.
Yeah, like, I'm kind of with you. It's hard.
It's
honestly
not easy. It's close. But I think I would have chosen Big T first. Everyone loves her, and she's proven to be more competitive than you'd expect. Gabby is making out with Fessy, which probably helps her socially. And also, I just think is like, if I'm thinking about all those eliminations, I think Nani is last for me. But again, maybe I am discrediting her wealth of experience because she is the most experienced.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I might have gone Gabby, but I, you know, especially since Kyle was already partnered with Nani. Although to me, right, like that partnership didn't work out well for either party.
That's the thing; it didn't work out. You weren't on good terms. You left her, and she already said, like, I'm getting rid of him as soon as I get my skull. You know, and then you're float. But honestly, I don't know that anyone's thinking this far ahead. But if you're choosing Nani because she's going to go in and you're going to end up a rogue agent, which kind of keeps you out of elimination for another week.
But it's true of all three of them, right? Like, they're all likely to go in.
Well, I guess, but Nani, I think, if all three of them had been eligible, and there's no way to know that Nam is going to be eliminated from a back problem, but if all three were eligible, I think Nani is the one I would have had the best odds to go in of the three, don't you think?
But if you want to be a rogue agent, you want the player that's going to go in and lose, right? So isn't Big T the best option there?
No, it doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. If he's thinking like, well, she's going to leave me anyway, right?
Right.
Then whether she wins or loses, it's really just a question of does she go
in? But you
in?
Have to know she's going to leave you anyway in that case, right?
Well, you have to expect it. So that's what I'm saying. I don't think anyone's thinking this far ahead, but if he was, he would probably expect her to leave him, and that wouldn't be the worst idea.
I'm changing my answer to Big T. Best social game and good chance that you can wind up going rogue anyway.
That's what I said.
And
I think that's right. But like it, like you said, it's super close, and it's not an obvious decision in any direction. So, you know, if Kyle feels comfortable with Nani, that it's probably best for his game if he just feels confident.
Yeah. All right. I got one more question for you, then I think we should probably wrap this up. So Josh, on his way out the door, unsurprisingly, I would say.
Amazing stuff.
Vowed that he would, in fact, be a champion one day.
Yep.
I put that question to you. Do you agree with him, sir?
It's funny. When he said that, the scenario or image that played out in my head was like a 38-year-old Josh pulling himself up a mountainside to finish like second to some 25-year-old, you know? So like kind of not, I kind of don't, but I also do see him playing as long as he possibly can until he gets a title, which to me, like, you know, he does seem to be relatively fit and committed. So like just by virtue of the fact that I think he's willing to do 25 seasons to try to win, he's got a chance.
Yeah. That's the thing to me is it's just like, I just think math, right? Like there is some possibility that over the years he actually improves at all of this, right?
Okay. But let me just throw a scenario at you. And it's a scenario I hope is not happening, and I kind of think is not happening, but let's say Leroy does not win and never does the challenge again. Like, do you think Josh is better than Leroy?
I don't.
Or ever will be?
The other thing I was going to say is that it's not just about him improving, right? At least for now, and for, you know, the next few years, I'd say it seems pretty reasonable. He's got this sort of powerful protection in the game that grants him some opportunities. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, you know, I guess the comparison would be like the Atlanta Braves, right? Like, you just know they're going to be in the picture every year. You know, you're going to get enough shots, you know, and the Braves are famous for not winning, but they did get one. So
yeah, that's why I say, I think I see your point. My instinct is he's just not. He's so far away from the sort of competitor who could win that it's hard for me to imagine. But I do also believe he'll play for long enough to put himself in that conversation repeatedly.
Right. And, like, there is a possibility that he could get less dumb over time.
There's a possibility that a teammate could drag him to a win at some point. You know, there's all sorts of stuff that could happen.
And I left out the part that, right, like, most of the players in the game clearly love him. So
everybody loves him. So yeah. He's got some advantages, but I still like he's the goof.
He's the goof.
Is he going to win? Maybe.
Definitely the goof.
Because like I suppose if you play enough times, the goof eventually wins, but it's hard for me to picture him ever not being the goof.
Yeah, but it's like those probability scenarios, and you're like, well, yep. If we play this 20 times, like the, you know, one, you know, there'll be an upset in one of them, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, you know,
he's gonna play 20 times.
Monkeys typing Shakespeare or what have you.
Yeah, exactly. so mean. And then if I could just add this too, as a, you know, PSA or whatever for all of these contestants, we have got the message that you were playing for your family.
Yeah, we know.
And for your
we
people
know all
back
about
home.
That. We know how important $1 million would be for everyone you know. We get it.
Yeah, me too. Literally everyone else is also playing for their families. So
yeah, and if a million...
It doesn't really make it special.
Yeah. If I had a chance to win $1 million, I would give some to my family for sure.
Yeah.
That would be... And that would change our lives big time. So we get it. Believe me.
Yeah, exactly. Life-changing money. I hear you. I wish you good luck. Godspeed. Please don't mention it again.
Seriously. We all and look, legitimately, I hope your family's doing great, Josh. You seem like a sweet boy who was probably raised by a sweet family. Like, shout out Josh's family. But also enough.
Yep. And shout out to Corey's kids and CT's kids and Darrell's kids. That, you know, I hope you all have great lives.
Exactly. Unless you want to show me more videos of your kids doing silly, dumb stuff.
Yes. All right. This was a great episode. One of the best of the season.
Really excellent. And all it had was one elimination and like the beginning of the next daily challenge. It was really a banger.
Yeah. Well done. Well played. Challenge gods, please more of this. And I'm kind of excited for whatever the hell this next challenge is going to be.
Yeah.
It looks well set up.
Darkness and the chains. It should be fun.
Yeah. I think you sort of have to do like some kind of like Midsommar, you know, insomnia sort of episode, right? When you're, you know, in the Nordic part of the world, right? Like, don't you need it? You need to take advantage of that
way? I guess so. Apparently that's them's the rules, I guess.
Oh, by the way, I couldn't tell if the hot springs was like a tourism ad or just an excuse to get the players in bathing suits, but it worked well on both of those counts. Like,
yeah, I think it was exactly both of those things. I mean, I think you read it perfectly. And I think it's also like, I think they do legitimately put stuff like that in there for like a quick dose of sanity for these poor persecuted individuals, because you know, this has been a good season to be reminded that, especially in these ones where, like, yeah, it's a nice spot and there's a cool gym outside, but, like, it's effing cold. You're basically quarantined and can't go anywhere. Even the bar is just a, like, weird dome on the property. Like, they've been there a while. It's enough to drive you a little insane with all these psychopaths in the house.
Even though they're psychopaths, but they're also interesting and hot, so that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that helps.
hopefully it helps some.
But I think sometimes I have a feeling it's at some point over the course of a season, it gets too interesting for every single person in there. So I do think there's some like mental health day to that part of it as well.
I agree. And look, I felt this way before the show, but I absolutely want to go to Iceland now. So it's doing its job on that.
Yeah, great job, Iceland.
On that front.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, let's
I'd
get out
like
of here.
To visit. All right. We're back on Tuesday with some movie talk, maybe a little bit of TV. I have started the morning show, by the way. Whew, it's a lot, my friend. And more challenge.
It continues to be a lot. It's going to go some places.
Yeah. I can only imagine. More challenge coming up next Thursday. And we're done. Bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling. And the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor. Have yourself a tremendous evening.